This year is Daf Samach Vav. We're going to begin at Samach Hayam Beis, the last line of the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Hakiteya Yoitz B'Kav Shaloi, Divrei Rav Meir. We're going to learn the Mishnah and the Gemara the way Rashi learns the Mishnah and the Gemara. I mentioned Tosfos' Shita once, but when we learn through the Sugya, we're going to learn with Rashi and Tosfos, Rashi's Shita. Rashi explains the Mishnah as follows. There's a person who's missing, unfortunately, the bottom of his foot. So the way he propels himself is with crutches. However, because he doesn't want people to see that he's missing his foot, they made a shoe out of wood that is put in the place where normally somebody would have his foot. And the question is that considered a shoe? Because the halacha is that a shoe, as we've been learning the whole parak, is a levush, it's a malbush, it's a garment, which you're allowed to wear on Shabbos. Is this considered a shoe that you're allowed to wear on Shabbos? Why? So Rashi explains the Gemara, because it's made out of wood. And the question is a wood shoe considered a shoe? And Rav Meir holds it is, and that's why he's allowed to wear it. Rabbi Yossi says you're not allowed to wear it because it's not considered a shoe. Tosfos, like I said, I'll mention it quickly, explains that the shaila here is, are we concerned, since this person doesn't need the shoe to walk, like we need, Baruch Hashem, the shoes to walk, that he'll take it off, like we're learning the whole parak, Dilma Shaf V'Machia, that he may take off the shoe because he doesn't need it, and he'll come to carry it. And that's how Tosfos explains the Machlokes and the Gemara. What is relevant after you see Tosfos' Pshat? If somebody walks with a cane on Shabbos, is he allowed to walk in the street holding the cane? Because what's the concern? The concern is, do we have to worry that he's going to carry the cane? Just like he may carry the shoe. So the halach lamaisa is that if a person needs the cane to walk, so then we're not concerned that he's going to carry the cane and he's allowed to walk in the street with a cane. On the other hand, if he doesn't really need the cane, he's not allowed to walk in the street with the cane. Now, the Magen Avraham says, how do I determine if a person really needs a cane or not? So he says a very interesting litmus test. He says, we'll see if this person carries the cane, what he does when he's walking in his house. When he's walking around in his house, does he need a cane to get around? Then that means this is a person that needs the cane. If on the other hand, he can manage without the cane in the house, so we obviously see that he can manage without a cane, and then he's not allowed to walk in the street with a cane, because we're concerned that he may come to carry the cane. Now, continues the Mishnah, there's an interesting Mishnah Gemara. It jumps from Shabbos to Tumah, from Shabbos to Tumah. Many times we had in this Masechta. If this shoe that we discussed has a receptacle for the ketisin, that it could hold rags, shmatis, tumah. Then it's makabel tumas medris. Tumas medris, it's makabel tumah because it's no longer considered a pshutik leitz. It's considered something that is a receptacle. And we said many times, for a wood utensil to be susceptible to tumah, it has to be a kli kibble. It has to be hold something. So if it could hold shmatis, if it could hold rags, that means it's a kli kibble and it's makabel tumah. Now the question is, even if it can hold shmatis, doesn't it hold the foot? So what do I need that it holds shmatis, holds rags, it holds the foot? So the answer is, it's not, a shoe doesn't hold the foot. The purpose of a shoe is not to be a receptacle for the foot. The purpose of a shoe is a shoe. It's not there to hold your foot, but if it holds something else, then it's considered a receptacle. Next case. Smuchin shaloi. This is another person. This is a person who, God forbid, is a double amputee. And what he does is he walks, he propels himself on his knees. And they had such leather straps that covered the entire foot, because otherwise he would hurt himself when he's pushing himself. So the halach is the tamei medris, the makabel tumah of support. Tamei medris means like this, just to understand it for the whole sugya. a Zov, or anybody who has Tumah coming out of his body, has a new type of Tumah called Tumas Medrus. It means a Tumah that of something that's used to support him. The classical case is a couch or a bed. This is also something used to support him, and therefore will be Mekabel Tumas Medrus. But Yotzman B'Shabbos, he may wear it on Shabbos. Why? Because these are something that are necessary. He can't get around without them. V'nechnosim b'azara. The halacha is that you're not allowed to wear shoes when you go into the Harabayas, or certainly when you go to the Azara, the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. These are not considered shoes to that degree that you're not allowed to wear them in the Harabayas. So there's two things. The Rishonim point out, what about Kiteya B'Kav Shloi, the first case of the Mishnah? They all say everybody will agree that a Kiteya cannot walk into the Harabayas or the Azara wearing those shoes, because there's no, he doesn't need them, and we learned that you're not allowed to wear shoes in the Azara. Now, case save smucha shaloi. This is the next case. This is a person that his feet are unfortunately so shriveled up he can't really propel himself with them. So what he has is he has like a small chair with crutches, and he propels himself with that. But he also wears these leather straps just to cover up what he has there. So aloch is kisei v'shemoich shaloi tamei medris. If he has that little chair, it also has tumas medris. And yotzman b'shabbos, and you're not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. Ve'nech nosim b'azara, you can't walk into the Azara wearing that. Now the Tosfos Yontif points out that if you're not allowed to go, why does it say you're not allowed to go into the Azara? It should have said even a bigger chiddush that you can't even go into the Harabayas, which doesn't have the same level of kedusha. So Tosfos Yontif says the halacha is you can't go into the Harabayas. The reason the Mishnah talked about Azara is to show us, because in the previous case there was a chiddush that you could go in, and the chiddush is that not only can you go into the Harabayas, you could even go into the Azara. So since in the previous case I spoke about Azara, in this case I speak about Azara too, but truthfully you would not be allowed to go into the Harabayas with these either.
So in this case, why can't he use it on Shabbos? Doesn't he need it for his?
Obviously he could get around without it. Look to him. What described Luktumim and Amibayz, Tahirim and Namakabal Tumma, then Yotumim and Yinala to go out on Shabbos. Amalei Ravel Rav Nachman begins the Gemara. Rav asked Rav Nachman, Hechitanan, meaning, how did we learn? Who said what? We have in the Mishnah Machloikis, Remain Reb Yoisi. The question is, who said what? Amalei Lo Yadana. I don't really know who to ascribe which Shita. Hechasimai, what is the Halacha? Also, Amalei Lo Yadana. I don't know. Itmar, so the Gemara says, Omar Shmuel, Eina Kiteya. The Ramei is the one that says, Eina Kiteya. Not like we have in our Mishnah. The Ramei says that a Kiteya can go out. They had a gear suggest the opposite. The Ramei says, Eina Kiteya. Vein, V'chein Omar Afuna, Eina Kiteya. That's Ramei that says, a Kiteya may not walk out like this in Shabbos. Omar Rav Yosef, Harav Omar Shmuel, Eina Kiteya. Since we have Shmuel saying, a girsa, the Ramei holds, he may not go out. V'amar of Huna, we have a girsa, the Huna says, Eina Kiteya, Anan Nami Nisna, Eina Kiteya. So we change what we learned in our Mishnah and reverse the Shitas. Maskevla, Rav Barav Sheira, so Rav Sheira said, hold on. Lo Shmile, Hod Masle, Rav Chanabar, Rav Lechiba Rav. Didn't you hear what Rav Chanabar Rav taught Chiba Rav? Kamei de Rav, in front of Rav, Bekitna de Rav. He learned, Kitten means the small room in Rav's yeshiva, that he had like Shmuel and Rav Huna had, the opposite of what it says in our Mishnah. The Eina Kiteya Yotz B'Kav Shloi Divrei Rameya. The Rameya says that the Kiteya may not wear the Kav. Rameya Simater. That was the Girsa that they were learning in Rav's yeshiva. Or Machalei Rav, and Rav signaled to them, Epoch, don't learn it that way. Learn like it says in our Mishnah. The Rameya is the one that holds its mutter, and Rav Yosi is the one that holds its asr. Amr Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, and Rav Nachman Yitzchak tells you, v'simonach, if you want to have a way to remember who holds what, samach samach. In Rav Yosi's name there's a samach, in the word asr there's a samach, so if you want to know who holds asr, remember Rav Yosi. Says the Gemara, v'af Shmuel hadbei, even though we started this piece of Gemara saying that Shmuel holds that Rabbi Yossi is the matter and Ramei is the oyser, says the Gemara of Shmuel retracted and agreed with the girsa that we have in our Mishnah. We know that the halach is that if somebody unfortunately dies without any children, his wife has to have Yibam. Yibam means that she has to she should marry her husband's brother. If he doesn't want to marry her, and nowadays we don't do it, it's not even an option, what we do is chalitza. Chalitza is that she takes off the shoe of the of a dead husband's brother, and then she spits it in front of his face. So there are a lot of halachas regarding that shoe. So, and the first thing is it has to be a shoe. So it says a Mishnah Masechet Yevamos, chalitza b'sandal shena shaloi, if she used the shoe that the brother doesn't own, or b'sandal shalaitz, a wood shoe, which is relevant to us, or she took off the left shoe from the right foot, the halacha is chalitza k'sheira, that even though it's a wood shoe, it's a kosher chalitza. Verminin, and we said mantana, who's the one that says that a wood shoe is considered a shoe? A mishmul remeihi. Rav Shmuel says that who's the one that holds a wood shmuel is a shoe? Remeya. The Tanan, where do I know, says Shmuel, that a wood shoe is a shoe? From our Mishnah. Because he quotes our Mishnah, Kitei Yoitz B'Kaf Shaloi, Div Remeya. And like we explained the Mishnah, why does Remeya consider it a shoe? Because Remeya holds that a wood shoe is a shoe. So obviously, it's Remeya that has the Girsa, Shmuel agrees with the Girsa of our Mishnah, and Rav Yossi is the one that Oyes because he holds a wood shoe is not a shoe. Says the Gemara, Vaf Rav Huna Hadabay. And also, Rav Huna changed his mind and agreed with the gear that we have in our Mishnah. The Tanya, Sandal Shosaiden. Sandal Shosaiden is the shoe that people in the plaster business wore. People, they used to have leather shoes, and plaster ruins the shoe. So somebody who was in the business of selling plaster used to put on, and again, we're going to learn like Rashi learns the Gemara, shoes like some sort of a covering made out of straw. And the question is, are they considered shoes or not? So it says sandals shasayin tamim medris, are tamim medris, they're considered a support. V'isha chaletzis bo, and it could be used for chalitza, it's considered a shoe. V'yotzma b'shabbos, and you're allowed to walk out on Shabbos. Again, why? Because it's considered a shoe, and like we learned many times, a shoe you're allowed to wear on Shabbos from Shusha Rabbim. Div Rebbe Kiva, that's Rebbe Kiva's sheet. Div Eloi Hoidoloi. And they didn't agree. Ask the Gemara of Tanya, there's another Brice that says, Hoiduloi, that they did agree with Rabbi Kiva Shita. Am Rav Huna. Man Hoiduloi, so Rav Huna explained, who's the one that agrees with Rabbi Kiva that a wood shoe is a shoe? Rameya. Or man Hoiduloi, who's the one that doesn't agree? Rabbi Yossi, because he holds that a wood shoe is not considered a shoe. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef Amar, Rav Yosef says, "Man lo hoydoloi, who's the one that doesn't agree with Rav Akiva that a wood shoe is a shoe?" Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. Tetnan, kaverish al kash, if you have a honeycomb made out of straw, v'sheferish al kanim, was a tube made out of reeds, Rav Akiva metama, it says it's mekabel tuma. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri metar. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says it's not mekabel tuma. Why? Because he holds that it's not wood, and something that's not wood, it's only straw, is not mekabel tuma. Ask Tosfos, how do we know, Taka, that, how does Rabbi Kiva know that something made out of straw is mekabel tuma? It has to be wood. So really, the Pnei Yeshua doesn't understand Tosfos' kasha. Why? Because he says that we learned the Gemara in this Masechta that the only kalim that are not mekabel tuma are kli avonim and kli galol, made out of stone or the dung. This is not stone or dung, so why shouldn't it be mekabel tuma? So Tosfos answers two terutzim. Tosfos says that we're talking either tumah d'rabbanan. You're right. Midaraisa would not be makabel tumah because it's only straw. Or another terutz Tosfos says is interesting. Gemara we learned to Masechta Brachos. The Gemara Masechta Brachos says eitz she'ochel adam rishon, the tree from which adam rishon ate chita haisa, was wheat, was grain. Now grain comes with straw, so you see that straw is wood. Rashi says a different pshat. He says, according to Rabbi Kiva, you know why straw is mekabel tumah? Because just like wood is wood and straw look like each other. They're both a hard material. So that's why it's mekabel tumah. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that's Rabbi Kiva shita. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, if it's not wood, it's not mekabel tumah. Period. Amamar, sandal shashaitan. We learned before that a sandal that these people in the plaster business wore, tumah medris, is mekabel tumah that if a zov is wearing it, it's considered support. Ask the Gemara, halav leluchavidi, it's not made to walk. And since it's not made to walk, it's only made as a protection for what he wears while he's selling the plaster. So why is that considered a support? A shoe is a support to the person, but not something that he only wears while he's selling plaster. A person in this business, even though he puts it on when he's in at his place where he's selling the plaster, sometimes he'll wear it home. So it has like a shoe. The example that the Mefarshim give is a very simple example. What's going to be if somebody goes wearing rubbers? Because it's galoshes, it's running, it's a raining day. And then he gets wherever he goes, and by the time he leaves, it's a beautiful day. He's still wearing his rubbers. He doesn't need to wear it for the rain, but since that's why rubbers would be the same as sandal shosaita. One more shaila la'aloch l'maisa before we go away from this gemara, and that is, what's the halacha about a person who never has to go in a wheelchair? Is he allowed to go in Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva about it, and Rav Moshe says that if he can wheel himself, then he's allowed to go even in Rishus HaRabim as a wheelchair. It's no different than all the other things that we learned in the Mishnah, that if a person must have it to transport himself, that's like his shoe. The wheelchair of somebody who never can walk is his shoe. However, Rav Moshe says that a Jew can't push him, because pushing the wheelchair is like carrying it, and it's like carrying the person and the wheelchair, and you're not allowed to push him in Rishus HaRabim. If it's a carmelist, then through a guy it's mutter, and if it's a carmelist, also Rav Moshe seems to be makel. Continues the Gemara.
If the person can't wheel himself, but he has to be pushed,
then you have to get a guy. V'miyesh lo beis kibul, if it has, we learned that if this kav has a place where you could put rags, kibul tiktisin, tomei tzbekabul tumas menus. Which tuma? Amar bai tuma tumas mes. It has a tumas mes, vein tuma medrus, because it's not considered support. Rav amar, af tuma medrus. It's considered a support to the person that's wearing it, and that's why it's mekabul tumas medrus. Amar rav amino aminala. From where do I see a precedent that something like this is considered a support and would be mekabul tumas medrus? That nan, agola shakotin. So Rashi learns, agola shakotin means like a wagon, that you have the kids sit in a wagon and they push them around. Tosfos says that agola shakotin is certainly something used for support. So Tosfos says it's something like a walker. When a child is learning how to walk, you buy him a walker. So agola shakotin, Tosfos says, is a walker. Agola shakotin, tamei medrus. So you see that even though it's not a full-fledged support, but since it gives support to the person, that's enough. So Rava has a very good raya. So why does Abaya hold that the shoe is not makabel tumas medrus? For Abaya mahasim samachala, the person completely relies on the agola. The kav, the person can't walk anyway, so the shoe is not really supporting him, and that's why Abaya says you can't bring a proof from the agola to the kav. Hachalei samachalei, Amar Abaya menor milei. Where do I see a precedent that something is not makabel tumah unless it gives full support? That nan makel shazakeinim, the cane that old people carry, tar meklum, is not makabel tumah. It gives support, but since it's not there for full-fledged support, it's not makabel tumas medrus. So Rashi asks an obvious question. We learned many times that wood, we just learned it in the Mishnah today, for wood to be makabel tumah, it has to have a base kibble. It has to be a receptacle. A cane doesn't have a receptacle. It's a stick. So who says that the reason it's not makabel tumas medrus is because it doesn't give support? You know why it's not makabel tumas medrus? Because it doesn't have a receptacle. So Rashi answers very bichidish, that this halacha that wood has to have a receptacle to be makabel tumah is only for tumas mes, for tumas maga. But for tumas medrus, it doesn't have to have a receptacle. And therefore, if it would give support, let's say it would have a wood bed, so it's not, doesn't have a receptacle, it would have tumas medrus. The reason over here it doesn't have, because it doesn't give support. So now is a question of Rava. According to Rava, you don't have to have full-fledged support to be considered tumas medrus, so why is a mako not mekabel tumah? Or why doesn't he bring a raya from the makel to the kav? Answers Rava, hasam l'terutzi sugya avida. The only reason the people wear, the old people go with a cane, is just to help them keep them straight. It doesn't really give them full support. Hocha, however, the kiteya with the calf, lismichalei hu davida, he gives them full support, the samichalei, and therefore, according to Ravid, there is tumas medris. So we learned that tamei medris, vein yotzim abishabis, vein nechnosim babazoro. Tana tana kamed Rabbi Yochanan, nechnosa nechbari lazara, that you may wear them. Why? Because they're not considered shoes. This was the person that had those leather straps covering his feet, and he says that they're not considered shoes, and therefore he may go into the Zoro. Omalei, anishayna ishechaletzispa. I hold that they're considered a shoe that you could do chalitza. That amris nechnasim, and you're telling me that you're allowed to wear them into the base of Mikdash. So what's the question? There's a much higher standard to be considered a shoe for chalitza than be considered a shoe for dazara. So if it's considered a shoe for Azara, it's certainly, if it's considered a shoe for the Chalitza, it's certainly a shoe for Azara. So how could you tell me that you go into the Azara? I'm Tani, so you could change the Girsa, Enoch Nasim Bal Azara. If you see that it's good for Chalitza, it's certainly not allowed to be worn in the Azara. So we learned the last thing in the Mishnah was, look them in Tahira. That look them in Tahira, Anamakabal Tumah, then Yotvim B'Shabbos, you're not allowed to walk out with them on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, my Luchtman. What exactly is Luchtman? So we're going to have three Pshatim. Amr Avavu, Rav Avu learns Chamr da Akfa. Chamr da Akfa is that they used to have clowns who used to perform in the street. And one of the things that they used to use was they took like a stick. On the top of it they had like the head of a donkey. And they put it between the legs and it looked like they were riding on a donkey. So now, it's not Makabal Tumah. It's not Makabal Tumah's Medris. Because it's not, doesn't give support. On the other hand, it's, you're not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. It's not a malbush, it's not something you wear, and it's not a tachshit. So that's why you can't walk out on a Shabbos. Rava papama, the what is it? Kshiri. Kshiri means stilts. So the way Rashi explains is that they used to wear stilts, that it was an interesting way to reason. If the street had puddles or dirty and they didn't want to get their shoes dirty, they didn't want to get themselves dirty, they used to walk on stilts. Rashi has a problem because if that's pshat, then why isn't Tumas Medris? It gives you support. So Tysus answers that since you only wear it once in a while, only when you have a problem in the street, that's not considered something you give support. Another pshat Tysus says is that, like we would explain stilts. So stilts were worn like clowns or to dance with. It was a trick. So that's not considered something that's used as support. It's only there to dance with. And that's why it's not Makabal Tumas Medris, and on the other hand, you're not allowed to wear, go out with her on Shabbos because it's not a malbush, it's not a tachshit. Rav Baruch Huna Amar Parmi. What is Parmi? Parmi is a mask. And they used to wear it, again, to play with the kids. It's not a Kabbal Tumah because it's not support, and on the other hand, it's not a tachshit or a malbush, you can't wear it on Shabbos. Says the Mishnah. Habarim Yotzim B'Ksharim. Children are allowed to go out with Ksharim. We're going to explain in a moment what Ksharim are. And children of kings, the Choshva people, are allowed to wear bells. The Kolodim, really everybody is allowed to. El Shadir Chamahoiva, who has bells on their clothing, B'nai Melochim, they wore the fancy clothing. So I just want to talk Halach Lamaisa. We really spoke about this once. I just want to sharpen it up a little. The Halach is that you're not allowed to wear. You're not allowed to ring a bell. You're not allowed to play any musical instrument on Shabbos. That's why many Rishonim explain that the bells that are being described in our Mishnah are bells without clappers. Because if they had a clapper, they make noise. However, the Shilti Gebayim says that even a bell would, even if the bells had clappers, it would not be a problem. He says the only time it would be a problem would be in the garments of young kids. Why? Because in children, they used to put bells with clappers. We learned this. So you could tell where they are. Adults, you don't have that issue with. So they're allowed to wear bells even with clappers. Where else is the Shaila relevant? On the Sefer Torah. When they carry out a Sefer Torah, and they put on the Keser, sometimes in their times, even on the actual Me'il that was around the Sefer Torah, they had bells. And the question is, are those bells allowed to have clappers? The Taz says, no. You should be careful that they shouldn't make any noise, because Hashmas Kol is also on Shabbos. The Magen Avraham says two reasons why it's permitted. One reason he says is they're not there really to make noise. They're just there for ornamentation purposes. And furthermore, he says the person who's taking the Sefer Torah out of the Aron and carrying it, he has no intention to make noise. He has no intention to play shering, and that's why it's mutter. There's an interesting shach. The shach in Hilchos Sefer Torah says another reason why you're allowed to have bells on these Keser Torahs. He says like this. The Isser, he is just the opposite of the Magen Avraham actually. He says, where did it come that they put bells on the Keser Torah? Where did that minute come from? They wanted the people should realize that the Torah was passing and they should all get up. So he says, the Isser of Hashmas Koil, of making a sound on Shabbos, is Drabonon. The Chiyuv for getting off a Sefer Torah is Deraisa. The Drabonon did not make the Gzeira where it was an issue of Kavod HaTorah. And since it's an issue of Kavod HaTorah to have these bells, so you don't have to remove them on Shabbos. That's what the Shach says. The Mishnah Berurah paskins that you should act like the Taz, and you should preferably not have clappers in the bells on the Keser or on the Me'il, but if you have nothing else, you may use them. Shlomo Zalman Orbach in the Shmir Shabbos Kuchosle is even more machman than the Mishnah Berurah, because he explains that nowadays we don't really use those bells for that purpose. The Shach says you're allowed to have bells because people are doing it so they should realize that Sefer Torah is walking by. Nowadays, that's not the purpose. So there is the issue of Hashma's call, and L'chatchila, the bells, there should be no clappers in the bells on the Keser Torah. I'll just tell you a nice Chassidish Shavart on the Mishnah. The Chassidish Shavart teaches like this. You know, there's a difference between when somebody's young, what his obligations are to do, and what he's supposed to do when he's older. Habonim, when children are young, they should be tied to the yeshiva, they should be tied to their parents' home. Their job then is to sit and learn. Ubnei melachim, once they become older and they're princes and they've already learned, then yoytzim bezagin, they could go out with bells and they could spread the word of Hashem. Continues the Mishnah. My ksharim. What is ksharim? So before we start learning this Gemara, which is really going to be the beginning of the next two blat, I just want to say Agdoma, introduction. The Gemara is going to be speaking about a lot of different things that they did for Refuah, which the Rebbe Kiva Eger quotes a Maril, and he quotes a Yam Shel Shlomim Masechet Chulin, that nowadays nobody should try any of these things. Even if somebody's suffering from any of the diseases that are mentioned here, you shouldn't try them. And on the contrary, if you try them, it's a big problem, because if they won't work, you may come to question the veracity of Torah. Here the Gemara says that this works, and then you'll try it and it doesn't work. The reason they don't work is because it's a different world. Nishtanu ativim. We're not the same people as they were thousands of years ago, and by trying them, you only can make a chila Hashem. My ksharim. So what is ksharim? Amar Adam Mari, Amar Rav Nachman bar Baruch, Amar Rav Ashi bar Oven, Amar Rav Yehuda, kshurei puah. They used to take an herb called puah, and they used to tie it around the neck. Amar Abai, Amar Li Em. And we're going to have Abai saying, quoting his mother. It really wasn't his mother, it was his stepmother. Abai's mother died in childbirth. Tilsam Mukmi. If you take three strands of this puah, Mukmi, it'll keep you healthy. Chamisha, if you take five strands, Masu, they'll cure you. Shiva, if you take seven, I feel like Shafim Mali. Even if you were affected by Shafim, by sorcery, that you could creep out. However, Amarav Achaba Yaakov, Vuhuda Loi Chazi Shim Shavasara. The only time the Puah, this herb, will work is if it wasn't open to sunlight or moonlight. Furthermore, v'loy chazi mitra, it never saw rain. V'loy shmile kal parzala, it never heard metal knocking, iron knocking. V'loy kal tanagol, the sound of a chicken. V'kal nigri, in the sound of a carpenter. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, nafal pur babira. After you give me all these conditions, I'll never have an herb that meets all the conditions, and it like fell into the pit that became useless. Ask the Gemara, if this is what ksharm is, my area bottom, I feel bonus. Why does the Mishnah say only boys? What about girls? Don't girls have to be healthy? Furthermore, my area ketanim, I feel gdol nami. Why dafka children? What about adults? Don't they have to be healthy? Al mai ksharim, So he has a different pshat and ksharim in the Mishnah. Ki ha da amar av avim barhuna, amar av chiba gurya ben shiyesh le gegun al aviv. You have a child that is very attached to his father. So there's a few pshatim in the Rishonim how to learn this. One pshat is that there's a child very attached to the father, and the father is going away for a long trip, and we're afraid that he's going to fall into a depression missing his father. Another pshat is that the father died, and we're concerned about the depression that the son is falling into, because sons are very attached to their fathers. You take the shoelace of the father's right shoe, the koshalai b'smalai, and tie it to the child's left arm. Aram Nachman by Yitzchak, the simanach tefillin. What's your simon? How to remember where to do it? Tefillin, just like tefillin are tied to the left hand, so too this shoelace should be tied to the left hand. The chilufa, but if you do it the other way, sakanta, it could only make it worse. Oh, it's a very good question. What about the child's lefty? So I saw, it's not very negela, aloch lemaisa, but I saw that if the child is lefty, he should still put it on his left hand. Why? Because we want it to be next to his heart. And even a lefty has his heart on the left side. Now, they do take one thing out, aloch lemaisa, from here. According to the Peshatim, that here we're talking about a father who passed away, and this, you know, and the child is missing his father, we have a minig that we don't wear the shoes of a deceased person. So they say from here you see that only the shoes may not be worn, anything else may be worn, even the shoelaces. Zoktigmar. Amar Avin Barifuna Amar Avchur Baguria. Schufi Kasa Ataburi Bishapsa. If somebody has a stomachache. So what they used to do, the way Rashi explained, is they used to take a cup of water, heat it up, and then pour out the water. The halacha is you have to pour out the water, because if you leave the water in the cup and you put it on your stomach, so then the water may spill out, and you have possibly two problems. One is the people see you may think that you're taking a bath on Shabbos with hot water, which we learned already in this Masechta you know how to do, or you may get your clothing wet and you could come to Shechita. So what you do is you heat up the cup of water, then you pour out the water. Or some Rishonim say you can heat up the cup without any water in the first place. This is, you know, people put on a hot water bottle. This is the beginning of the hot water bottle, and you can put it on your stomach. Now the obvious question is, we know that you're not allowed to do Shechikas of Amonim on Shabbos. You're not allowed to do Refuah of Shabbos. So how could you do this? This is a Refuah. So there are two approaches in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim say we're dealing with a Chayil Shesh Pesakana. And Chayil Shesh Pesakana, you're allowed to do on Shabbos Refuah. Other Rishonim, interestingly enough, explain that why is Refuah Asur on Shabbos? Because Shechikas of Amonim, that you're going to make the medicine. So the only type of Refuah that's Asur on Shabbos, this is what the Rambam says, this is what the Meiri says, is when you take a medicine. Because even though you're not actually making the medicine, since it could come that you'll make the medicine, so Chazal said you're not allowed to take medicine. But anything that doesn't involve taking a pill, there's no issa to do on Shabbos. And it'll be relevant as we go on. That's, you have the water on the black from before. Rav Mibayravchi, it's a good point. Rav Chimi Bayrav, ki have a miss. No, I'm sorry. Skip the line. This is another thing. If somebody gets shikr, gets drunk, they used to smear oil and salt, and that got him clear. If they got drunk, they brought oil and salt. The shayfla legavias today, the guys that they died, they used to smear the palm of the hands, the gavias the kairayu, and the bottom of the feet. Just like this oil is clear, this person should become clear and get rid of the effects of the wine. Viloy, if it doesn't work, he should bring some wax, a tube of wax, and soak it in water. Just like this wax is clear, continues the Gemara. V'amar Avin Baruf Huna Amar Avchama Baguria Muta L'chanik B'Shabbos. L'chanik means to choke. So there's two pshatim in this also. One pshat is that somebody's neck got dislodged, So the way you choke, the way you move it back into shape is like you choke him and you push it back into shape. Another pshat is that sometimes a refuah involves choking a person, that he should cut off the ear for a second or two, and that's what they did as a refuah. So halacha is you're allowed to do it. And again, we have again the same machloikis. Why? Some say it's because of chayil shesh b'sakana, and others say because since it's not a medicine, it doesn't fall into the category of refuah b'shabbos.
So what's the tiddush?
That this is considered a chayil shesh b'sakana. Continues the Gemara. But this is like this: a child, as it comes out of its mother's womb, sometimes can get banged around through the childbirth. So the and it's also very soft bone still, just a newborn, so it could get out of shape. What they used to do was, as soon as the child was born, they used to wrap it in blankets, and like that they put it into shape. And the Rishonim explained it doesn't necessarily mean the day it's born, even it could be 2 or 3 days later. And this is Mutter and Shabbos. Rapapa Mamasni Bonim. Rapapa Mamasni learned Bonim, which is Lashon Rabim, because as Gemara explained, he learned two of the above halachas in the name of Rav Ovin. Rav Zvid Masni Ben. Rav Zvid said Ben, only one halach was said in the name of Ovin. And the Gemara explains. Rapapa Masni Bonim. Rapapa says Bonim, which is a plural, but Tamai Masni Ba'ovin Barhuna, because he had two halachas in the name of Rav Huna. One was about the Ketanim, and the other was the first halacha about the hot water. Rav Zvid Masni Ben, Kamaisa, the first halacha about the hot water, Masni Bavim Barhuna, he said that Rav Avim Barhuna taught that halacha. The high, but this halacha about the child, Masna B'Rav B'Bachana. Don Rav B'Bachana, Lufufi Yenuka B'Shapsa, to wrap the child in the blanket, on Shabbos Shapadam. Continues the Gemara. Amr Bai, Amr Li Em, my stepmother taught me, call Minyana b'shma d'ima. Whenever you have to daven for a sick person, so you say the name of the chayla, then his mother's name. Why do we say in the name of the mother's name? First of all, where do we see it? We see David HaMelech did it. David HaMelech says until ma'ani avdecha ben amasecha. He mentioned his mother's name. Why do you mention the mother's name? So the two pshatim, there are many pshatim, I'm going to mention two. One pshat is like this, because a woman has less averus than a man. A woman is not mechuyev a mitzvah say she's man grama, and a man is. A woman is not chayiv to learn Torah. We're mechuyev to learn Torah. So, and if we don't learn Torah, and we probably don't learn as much as we should, so that doesn't do good for the chayla. So it's better to mention the mother's name. The Chassam Sofer says pshat like this: everybody knows for sure who their mother is. You can't have a question who your mother is. A father, you know, we don't expect people to be mamzerim, but you never know for sure. We're relying on Roy, we're relying on Chazaka. When it comes to refuah, we want to be 100% sure. So since we want to be 100% sure, we mention the mother's name, not the father's name. But when you mention somebody's name after he's no longer in this world, that means by a kelmole, by yisker, there you already say the father's name. Why do you say then the father's name? So I also saw two pshatim. One pshat is like this. Mar Masech the Nida talks about what parts of the body the mother provides and which part the father provides. So Mar says the mother gives the flesh, the father gives the bones. We know after a person leaves this world, his flesh decomposes, but his bones remain. So since the bones which come from the father remain, we mention the father's name, not the mother's name. Another pshat is like this. The mother provides the gashmis. Our physical being comes from our mothers. The father provides the ruchnis. After we leave this world, we don't have any more gashmis. So there's no point in mentioning the mother. But the neshama, the ruchnis, remains. So that's why we mention the father's name. The Armin Hagim, actually, I saw that both by a living person when we're davening for him, or by a person who's no longer in the world, you should mention both the mother and the father's name. Continues the Gemara. Vam Rabaya, Amrali Em. V'kol Ketari, I'm scared, sorry, I skipped a line. V'kol Ketari, whenever we have a refuah that you have to tie something, always tie it on the left hand. Vam Rabaya, Amrali Em. Another thing, Kol Minyi the Mefarashi, wherever they tell you to do something a number of times, Kimafarashi, do it the number of times they tell you to do it. But the Loyman Farashi, if they don't tell you how many times you should do it Abon V'chad Zimni, do it 41 times. Tan Rabbanan, continues the Gemara. Yoitzin Bevin Takuma. They used to go out with such a stone. They're marrying different pshatim, the rishonim, how the stone looked. Some say it was a diamond, same say it was one stone within the other stone. That they used to, a woman who was pregnant, used to wear it to prevent miscarriage. Sometimes they couldn't get the Evan Tekuma, so they took another stone that weighed the same amount as the Evan Tekuma, and they wore that. Says the Gemara, V'loy Shapila, El Shematapel. It's not in a situation where the woman already miscarried, just she's concerned she's going to miscarry, she's already allowed to wear it. Furthermore, V'loy Shibra, not that she's necessarily pregnant, El Shemtas Abvetapel, we're concerned that she may get pregnant and miscarry, so if you're worried about that, she could wear the Evan Tekuma. So there are two things. First of all, the Rishonim say it can't be that every woman can wear the Evet Tekuma. It's only a woman who has some sort of a concern that there's a problem in the family, a miscarriage. She thinks she may be pregnant, may be getting pregnant. But just a woman who's certainly not pregnant and certainly has no history of miscarriage has no right to wear the Evet Tekuma. But Rav Moshe says something like Loch Lemaise from here. You know, many times we talk about a refuah, when we talk about a chayla, we think that the person is sick. From here you see that a person doesn't necessarily have to be sick. The person just is worried about getting sick, and it's already considered that he's sick. Omar Rav Yehim Rav Hashem Mishmei Dabaya V'hu Dechavin V'iskal. He has to make sure that he gets the right weight. Then it's considered Evan Tekuma. Baya Baya Mishkal the Mishkal. That means you took the Evan Tekuma, you weighed something against it, and then you weighed something against that stone. Does that also have the status of an Evan Tekuma or not? Teiku. Gemara says, I don't know. Stop here.